brothers and sisters, and here we go again. Today we have a very special guest and a very dear friend to Local 636 in the name of Josh Coles, and we're sitting beside him. We have Melissa Holden, the Vice President of the Union. Welcome aboard, Mr. Coles.
Thank you very much, Brent, for the invite. This is exciting. You guys are on the cutting edge here.
Thank you very much. Josh, we're trying some new things. We're trying to figure out how we can educate our members and keep our members involved and giving them, offering other means for them to get involved, get in the know, figure stuff out, because they're always saying that we leave them behind. So the reason I'm thankful for you joining us today is we have this thing called an election happening in April 28th of 2025. So if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a few questions to maybe help educate some of our members and maybe try to drag them out to the polls, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, brother. With my hat on from the Uniform National Political Action Department, I live for this stuff and I'm dying for these questions.
That's why you're the best person to have on the call for this, right? This is just straight up a conversation and trying to educate as many as we can. So, Josh, my first question I have for you. How do you believe voting can create meaningful change in society and politics?
Well, listen, voting, Brent, democracy may not be a perfect system, for sure, right? There's flaws in democracy in Canada and around the world. But it is very good, and in fact, it's the best system we can think of to govern our society, to figure out how we govern our society. And if we don't have voting, if we don't actually participate in choosing in a democratic way by a secret ballot vote, if we don't actually do that, what you end up with is dictatorship and people like Putin in Russia, right? Where you have no elections, it means you don't have elections in your unions. You don't have elections in your government, in your city, anywhere, and that system just sucks, right? So voting changes society, because in Canada in particular, we do change leaders a lot, right? There are many cases in Canada where we toss the bums on their ass by the ballot box, where we toss people out, right? And you have these very hot, contested campaign periods. And we end up with surprises sometimes, and a winner comes out that you didn't think was going to win. But that's a beautiful thing. And it's a beautiful thing because it's a secret ballot vote. So the first thing I always say to members is, like, nobody's ever going to know how you vote. We don't tell people how to vote. Brent, I know you don't tell people how to vote, right?
No, it's
a secret ballot vote. Nobody's going to know but you and God, right? And that determines the government. And that's the best system we got. And also, Brent, as you know, like, these things matter so much to everybody's lives, not just their workplace, but all their stuff that their family's dealing with. I mean, it's just, it's the ballgame, man.
Absolutely. I mean, so you're bringing up the democracy and stuff. So what kind of impacts would lower voter turnout have on democracy?
It drives me crazy, first off. Okay, so here's the problem with low voter turnout. This is what I can't figure out about this. And so what we're talking about, let's just set the table back up a little bit, right? So in Canada, the high watermark, Brent, of the number of people who have voted, the high watermark for the federal election, which is on right now. So I'll use this as an example. The high watermark is 79% of Canadians voting in the federal election. But that was in 1958. The low watermark is around 45%. That happened in the 90s. The averages are around 67%. So what that means, though, Brent, is only a 2/3, right, of Canadians actually go out and vote in a secret ballot vote and determine their government. It means that about 1/3 of Canadians have a right to vote and don't show up. But you know what that does? That makes their not voting not secret. We now know they haven't voted for anybody, right? If you go and vote and have a secret ballot, we don't know who you voted for. We just know you showed up and voted, right? But so what we try to always say with those who don't vote is other people are determining who your government is. You've disclosed to the world that you're not voting. And so we now know that other people are determining your life, essentially, right? You got to go and turn up because not only is it a good functioning part of democracy, but it means that you're running your own family, you're running your own workplace, you're running your own union and not somebody else, right? So low voter turnout drives me batty, right? It's a problem. Listen, in the last provincial election in Ontario, one of the worst, 46% turned out and voted. It was 45% during COVID. Now, the COVID thing, I understand. That was the last COVID election. I get that, right? But I don't understand this last one, man. You got to turn out and vote. The other thing I want to say to people, Brent, just for those who don't know, Canada's democratic election system is incredibly fair. It is super easy to vote. It's done in most schools or churches or gymnasiums and community centers in most people's neighborhoods. The rule in Canada is you must be able to walk to your ballot, right? Right. It does not require a car. It does not require much, man. You got to go and prove who you are, which is simply any kind of piece of paper showing where you live, hydro bills, telephone bills, driver's license, MSP, what do you call it? OHIP, sorry, right? All that kind of stuff. You just got to go and show up and vote, and it's a beautiful thing. So, take that right that you have and use it. Otherwise, somebody's going to take it away.
Very good. So, you're kind of leading me right into the path where I wanted to go down anyway. So, being involved in the union as high as you are, especially in political action, you probably get asked. So my question to you is, what do you say to members that say our political system is disappointing and they don't vote? How do we mobilize and engage these people? How do we get them to get interested to come to the polls?
Right to the heart of the question, Brent. Thank you. That's actually the great question. So the only answer I got, man, is it's a one-on-one live physical conversation about this issue. So this is my number one thing on this. You can't fix this over Facebook. Right. You cannot mobilize people to go and use their right to vote in the shortcut way of posting stuff on Twitter or Facebook or the dark web or Instagram or whatever. Right. The only way that we've found success, and it's not just me in this union, others have found success in getting people to vote, is one person talking to another person live. Right. It could be at the church, the curling rink, the bar, the hockey game or whatever. But you have a person that always votes or votes, very often, talking to another who has never voted, and they say the following thing. Listen, man, you go right for the family, Brent, right? This is what I do. Do you have any family member using any part of the healthcare system? Everybody's going to say yes, right? So then you say, did you know in Canada that's all regulated by politicians, by government? Whether you like it or not, that's all the healthcare stuff is regulated by government politicians. So if you don't think your family members getting a fair shake in the healthcare system, then why aren't you voting, man? Because that's who determines the fair shake in the healthcare system. So I find those one-on-ones, Brent, are the only way to get through to the really cynical, sour, the people that are really soured on life, right? That's the only success I've had. Now, let's be clear, right? Canada's not the only problem, the only country with this problem. Around the world, everybody's struggling with this. We'll never get 100%, Brent, but I know we can get it above 45% provincially, 67% federally, but there are no shortcuts. It has to be done one-on-one. My last point is this, and listen, you'll hear a lot of this. I'm giving an opinion here for what it's worth. You'll hear a lot of people say we should throw people in jail who shouldn't vote. We should tax them more. Or some kind of disincentive, right? I'm not into that at all, right? Here's the problem with using a whip instead of a carrot, right? It's a whip instead of a carrot. That ain't right, right? You need them to be engaged voluntarily, right? Because then you don't keep them for life. Because this is the other thing about voting that is really, really interesting. Typically, those who vote often always try to vote often. And the only times they don't vote is if some family crisis happens or they end up in Cuba and they can't get a plane home or whatever, right?
That's true.
So once people actually taste that really cool, beautiful internal feeling of voting, of casting a vote, they usually make an effort to do it the next time. So Brent, these people that aren't voting are the same ones that don't vote ever, right? Yeah. And they drop up and down and these kind of things, right? So
I'm also going to throw this.
Right on.
That's fine. And Melissa, may pop in here if you disagree or agree, because this is kind of a two-folded question for both of you, to be quite honest, because we finally have a youth committee here at the local for the first time ever. Rah, rah, yay,
yay.
Stuff, right? But here's the problem I have. are those members there, and I'm all about education. If you want to make a sound choice, you need to educate yourself on the platforms that the parties are running from. But here's the problem, and you touched on it in your response, Josh. You can't fix it on Twitter, and you can't fix it on Facebook, and all this other stuff. If I was to ask Josh Coles to give me some sound advice and some platforms that I could share with the membership here at Local 636, where would you send me to be able to fact check all the politicians?
All right. Okay. Actually, that's a great question. So first off, let's just be clear about what you're saying. There are bullshit sources, right?
Yes.
And there are good sources. So it does matter. It does matter where we send them, right? So there are a bunch of good places. So the first thing I'll say is this. Let me just be completely nonpartisan here. Start with this. In Canada, each of the party's own websites is a great place, like the website itself. I want to be clear here. I do not mean their Facebook account. I do not mean their Twitter account. Go on to that old technology called the web and type in www.conservative.ca, www.liberal.ca, www.ndp.ca. Those are the three main ones, right? They have, and I mean this seriously, and these are parties, there's some parties there I do not support at all. They have their real views, their truth on their websites, right? Way more than their spin. Yes. They got the policies there, et cetera, right? And so that's me saying, they got, first thing to anybody that's 18 or older, that's who votes, 18 or over in Canada, they got to check out the website first. So Brent, I don't find that a tall ask, right? So first thing I would say to your youth committee is not the Facebook, not the Twitter, go to that site, right? And so now they're going to ask, okay, but what is my view? How does my view fit into that? I have a certain view on things. For example, and I'm not just trying to make a joke here, Pierre Poilievre is against the legalization of marijuana, for example, right?
Right.
I'm making a really easy statement here. Everybody knows it. You can find that on their website. If a member really cares about that, they can get the truth about the party's platform, the party's position on each of those issues, okay?
Perfect.
So same goes with healthcare, same goes with everything. You can see it there. The second thing, and I mean this seriously, and I know we'll have some members say, what the hell am I talking about? And I'll get to that, right? But there actually is a really good service in Canada called the CBC. It's a radio and TV program show, right?
It's my favorite.
But it's your favorite. But they have a thing on here that was put together by political scientists of all different types of views, from left to right to center, from conservative to liberals to NDP, where members go to votecompass.cbc.ca, and they just have to click get started. It's super easy. And it guides people through their own views as of today, right? So your youth, any member will have a view tonight on XYZ. All they got to go there is they'll be asked about their views and those things. They answer honestly. Again, it's all secret and confidential. Brent Thompson will never find out. Melissa will never find out. I'll never find out. They do this in confidence. And it's going to spit out, Brent, what party is most aligned with them. And I get asked this question a lot, Brent. Healthcare is really important to me, but I don't want to talk to you, Josh. I don't want to talk to Melissa. I don't want to hear your bullshit, right? What do I do, right? How do I find out the truth about where the parties stand on the issues that I care about? I always send them to Vote Compass, okay? .cbc.ca. Super useful tool. The Americans have their own that do it. This is a great place to start. And the truth comes out. You can even see it at the end. They'll also link to the party's websites, right? So it shows what their sources are or whatever. That, Brent, is a very digital answer, right?
I love that.
Now let me get to one more core thing here, right? We're still going to have those people where that's not enough, where they're just, right? What's going on? These kind of things. Right? And the only other answer I have on that is the same thing as we say in our families. You know, when you have those Christmas dinner conversations about politics and it starts to feel very awkward. With the big family, maybe this is just my family, but not everybody in my family agrees to everything, right? So what do you do with that kind of stuff? The other thing I just say, Brent, especially to you as a president and to Melissa, the vice president, is just breathe, right? We just need to have patience with all Canadians around politics. It is thorny stuff. It makes us feel awkward sometimes, just like at the Christmas dinner conversation, but that's okay. They're awkward about us. We're awkward about them. It doesn't mean that person doesn't have views that don't matter. Everybody matters, man, right? And so we just need to have patience with Canadians as we talk through things. And I find we always, always, Brent, have way more in common with each other than we have against each other, right? And so long as we, so long as we keep that going, progress is made.
Josh, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I very much appreciate the fact that you took this much time to answer a few of my questions. Just in closing, I got one little thing I want to ask you. In all honesty, with all the shit going on in the south of us, how much do you think tariffs are going to impact this federal election?
100% is the only question on the ballot. Whether we like it or not, this is the ball game. Because here's the thing. Let me just talk about the public purse for a second, right? We collapse the Canadian economy. If Trump collapsed the Canadian economy, right, it makes us very vulnerable to cutbacks in everything we hold dear, from healthcare to our highways, right? You know, as simple as good paving on the highway to snow removal to everything we need to spend funds on, Trump will get to because he's collapsed the economy. So if we don't stop this tariff stuff, our economy is in big, big caca here, right? And this is Canada-wide. This isn't just in Woodstock or in Oxford riding or anywhere, right? This is the problem, man. And this is what Trump's, this is a five-stage, multi-pronged plan of his to destabilize our economy and then to take us over in some way, right? He's doing it to Mexico. He's doing it to Greenland and all over the place. So this is the ball game for sure, man. The only question that matters. So you'll see that on votecompass.cbc.ca as well. It'll ask people about that kind of stuff, and they can put in their own views there and not just listen to me.
Very good.
Awesome.
Very good. Like, once again, thank you very much, Josh. I appreciate it. Melissa, thank you as well. And I hope everybody does listen to this and gets out and make sure they utilize their right to vote. So thank you, Mr. Coles, and you can take care and have a good day.
Thank you for the opportunity. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
So how was that?